We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We've got just a few days away this Saturday night, August 24th, Providence Amphitheater, Papa Roach, Bad Wolf.
Hailing from Vacaville, California, they formed while still in high school, releasing several independent CDs before breaking out with their triple platinum major label debut, Infest. They are Papa Roach. With their electrifying stage show, they've held their own on the road with everyone from Nickelback, Disturbed and Motley Crue. They sold over 20 million albums. They released their latest, Who Do You Trust, earlier this year, and this Saturday night, you can see them live on stage at Providence Medical Center Amphitheater. Please welcome, friend of the show, Papa Roach frontman, Jacoby Shaddix.
Brother Jacoby, how are you, man?
What's up, my man? How you living?
Well, man. What about you?
I'm cool, man. I'm out here in Grand Rapids, just rolling out the rack, having some coffee, and out here on this summer tour, kicking asses and taking names, man. It's good.
I was just talking to the guys about 1997 when you released your first independent. You just think, man, what a roll it's been, man. And congratulations on everything, the sobriety, the albums, the getting better, getting bigger all the time, coming in and doing the amphitheaters. It's very few and far between bands that have that staying power.
It's wild, man. I've been, you know, just kind of reflecting back as we're out here, and it is. It's a trip, man. You know, we started this when I was 16 years old. Papa Roach is my first band, and I'm still in it. You know what I mean? Like, it just blows me away, and you know, definitely got some gratitude flowing through my blood right now about that. And you know, it's just dope to still be able to make music and connect with people, you know, currently, instead of just like going, all right, we're just gonna roll on, you know, the success of just the first record, or
right,
you know,
right.
I mean, you know, we've taken our lumps over the years, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, we got that tenacity, man. We keep pushing and trying new things, and
well, that's the key to this life.
Gotten us to this place, man.
That's the key to this life, isn't it? Like, because you're right. You've taken your lumps, man. Yeah. You got pretty deep into addiction, and you know, you got sober, and it didn't affect your show. It made your show better, you know, and it forces you to deal with some stuff. I was reading something the other day about you and the band. And I didn't realize that you'd had such a heavy childhood. Now, we all carry our weights, for sure. But I hadn't seen you really speak out about that. You had a pretty tough childhood with your dad. He'd come back from Vietnam, and it was pretty rough.
Yeah, man, I think for me, it's just trying to untether that crazy ball of yarn that I got going on in my head and my heart. You know, and the music is a way to do that. You know, yes, my father was a Vietnam veteran. I saw the effects of that in his life. It was, he came back and he had a war inside his head when he came back to that place. And my heart goes out to, you know, any veteran
sure.
out there listening, man. It's like, people shouldn't experience the traumas that these guys witness and live through. And man, that's tough stuff, man. So, you know, it's just when crazy stuff happens to us in our lives, it's like, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't want to be all preachy or nothing, but it's like, it's our responsibility as individuals to like, to figure out how to handle it.
That's right.
You know, because it's unfortunate, you know, but it's like, you got to figure it out, man. It's like, and it usually makes us better people if we're bold enough or courageous enough to like just step to it and try to evolve. And, you know, fortunately, it's
the invisible wound.
Sorry, what'd you say?
It's the invisible wound, isn't it? Because soldiers were so afraid to say anything because they weren't missing an arm, maybe, or a leg, or they weren't shot. But they're still, the wounds are very real. PTSD, there was no term for it. And so, you know, they were shell-shocked or whatever, and it was, everybody had that walk-it-off mentality. And the truth is, it can't be, and it takes real treatment. And then, you know, they pass it on to their kids, you things that happen to you. Like, it's all very real, and we're all so terrified of looking weak, and we allow it to destroy our lives and destroy the people around us, and it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I feel you, man. It's pretty cool, though, because there are things that the soldiers can do, you know, at this point in time. My wife's father was a Vietnam veteran as well, and he started going after, like, probably just like 5 or 6 years ago, going to, like, group therapy.
Yeah.
And he was like, I never thought I'd be going to do this, man, but it's like, I got to go deal with this. And now he works with other young men that come back and are walking through this crazy stuff. And so it's cool to see that, you know, fellow Americans were helping each other out, you know, lifting each other up. And
yes,
it's a good thing, man. There's a lot of good things happening in this country as well. You know, it kind of gets a little clouded by everybody pissing on each other. But, man, there's a lot of really good stuff about us.
Look, we're a great country filled with great people. We unfortunately have a few amount of people with very loud, very, you know, they have access to us now that they didn't have before. Before, if somebody was a tool or an a-hole, you just didn't invite them to the party. Now, through social media, they just open the door and come on in.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, dude, it's cool, though, because it's like in our little microcosm of our tour bus, it's like there's all kinds of different, you know, worldviews or ideas and stuff like that. And it's like we just chop it up and talk about it. We don't get all crazy about it.
Yeah, that's it.
And the funny thing is, I tell my people, I'm like, yeah, think about it. Like, I live with a woman that I love and I've been married to for 22 years that I disagree on nearly everything in life with. And how do we do this? You know what I mean?
Respect.
Well, that makes me crazy.
It's respect. It's respect, man, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's when I've seen you, man, and you know, we were at Rocklahoma years ago, and I was so struck you had your son with you, and I was just watching him and watching you, and it was such a natural father-son good time. It wasn't weird because it was backstage, you're sober, and it was an odd setting, but it was a purely natural thing, and I guess I was struck by the strange dichotomy of all that.
Yeah, man, it's like I got this crazy circus of a life, and I got to make it work out here. And so having the kids out and visiting us on the road, it just brings some peace to us out here. It's trippy, man, because I got my little boy Brixton. He's 5. He just started kindergarten. My boy Jagger.
Jagger's who it was.
My boy right there. That's my little guy. He just started a freshman year, and then I got Mikhail, who started his senior year. So I'm, like, all over the map with these kids. And, man, it's awesome.
Cool? Are you cool with him? Will Jagger give you the rock star treatment, or are you just dad? And he goes, Jesus, Dad, come on! Like,
there's a little bit of both. You know what I mean? And he'll start busting my chops or whatever. You know, oh, dude, that's not cool. I'm like, okay, dude, you're friends with my autograph.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough because, you know, you're his dad. And so the natural progression of everything is to not be, you can't be cool because what he likes is cool. And what he knows is new is cool and only his stuff. And you don't know because you're just too old, Dad. Even though you're not, it's just, I remember the worst thing in the world that if my father would have liked the same music that I liked, I didn't even know how I would have rebelled.
Dude, you know what's funny, man, is like me and my kids, we like a lot of the same music. Somehow I escaped that part of it. You know, it's like I went on Jagger to a show, brought him in his first mosh pit last year.
Nice.
You know, so like there's things that we did together. He's a drummer as well, so he plays a bunch of Slipknot. He loves A Day to Remember. He loves Papa Roach. He listens to a lot of Papa Roach. I'm like, that's cool. He still likes my band. You know?
Nice.
Like, we're still cool to my son. You know, so there are things that we definitely have that are, you know, common ground for us. But, you know, there's other stuff I'm just like, oh, who's this little who? Little avocado balls? Or what is his name that rapper did?
Yeah. It's it's funny to watch us all get a little further in our lives. And like, you know, LJ from Seven Dust lives in Kansas City. And so I spend a lot of time with his family and, you know, with Kingston and Jada, his kids and his beautiful wife, Ashley. And you know, you know, LJ, when he takes that stage, he's another human being. Like, he commands that performance. He is a fierce, fierce human being. But he picks his little boy up, and he's just a puddle. Like, he's pure love with them.
I find out about a lot of us vocal singer types is, you know, there's one persona on the stage, and then when we get with our family and stuff like that, it's just we're softies.
Yeah,
you know, we're emotional people. We're sensitive people. It's funny how we tread that line or have that dichotomy within our lives.
Well, and that's true. I always wonder because I know a bunch of singers, you know, that I become pretty close and good friends with. And the thing, you're right, that thread that I see is it's not an act. There's an access to another human being inside of yourself, Jacoby. And I see it with you, and I see it with guys like Jesse James Dupri and guys like LeJean, that and even Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm, that there's an access they can find of another creature that's always living inside them, that the second they walk on that stage, it's their stage, it's nobody else's. And there's a confidence and a ferocity that has to come with that.
Oh, totally, man. It's such a great outlet, and it's like, I just feel comfortable up there. It's where I feel like it puts me in the moment, essentially, and I feel that that's what's so special about it, because I spend a lot of time in my head, like, future tripping or just, you know, stressing out about this, that, and the other. And then when I step up on the stage and start the show, nothing else matters. I'm right there in the moment with the music, with the people, just in the zone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, there's such a freedom to that.
Well, and I think what you do is, and that's such a great point because, you know, I like Aerosmith. Very much. But when I go see Aerosmith, I'll see the same show they did last night and the night before. And it's a very structured situation. If you go see a Papa Roach show, it's going to be something that moves with, right, that animal. I refer back to the infamous Mudfest of, I think, 2009. And the day was unraveling. It was 50,000 people in the middle of Kansas City, Missouri, at Liberty Memorial. And you could tell that it was going to change one way or another. The day was either going to stay really fun or it was going to get a little sad and depressing because the rain was coming down, the grass had dissolved, people were muddy, it was a little chilly, and you went over the fence in that moment. You didn't stay in a structured place, covered yourself in mud, and worked that crowd into a goddamn frenzy, and I watched it save the overall feel of that festival that day.
Oh, man, yeah, that was like one of those moments for us, you know. I reflect back upon that fondly as well, man. That was a great time. I always look forward to coming out and ripping that show. But, dude, that was a special one, you know, Mudfest.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's like there's a certain volatility, I guess, in what we do. And it's like it could go off the rails at any moment, you know. And I think that unpredictability and, you know, it's like when I get up on stage, I'm not one of the front men that has, like, the exact same shtick every night. You
right.
know, I got to let the feel of the room and the feel of the crowd just, you know, affect the dancer and affect, you know, how I'm working with the audience, because it's just a living, breathing experience. And I feel like if I just totally put the whole thing in a box, it's like it just becomes mechanical. And that becomes, for me, just kind of like, all right, here we are on stage again, doing the thing again. I'm over here now and I'm over there now. And it's like, ugh. I can't do that. It just doesn't work from a spirit.
No, it wouldn't be any fun, and it wouldn't be a Papa Roach show. I mean, that's a great part of success is that live show. And that's the thing that, you know, you can sound great on an album, you can bring in writers and do certain things, but when it comes down to live, that's where you make fans. That's where you make lifetime fans, because you're right, man. In that, the audience is in the moment. The audience isn't thinking about tomorrow. They aren't thinking about getting home. They're not thinking about tonight. They're thinking about what they're seeing at that moment, what they're feeling, what they're hearing. Is it your favorite song? If it's a great rock band, I truly believe you'll think of nothing else except what you're watching.
Oh, totally. I'm a firm believer in the rock show is the proving ground for who's going to sink and who's going to swim.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause there's bands out there, they got the hype, and then you go see them, you're like,
yeah,
it bums me out.
Right.
And then there's others that live up to the hype or exceed it. And that's when you know, all right, we're in the presence of greatness right there. Something's going on. And that's, I mean, I feel the same way as you. That's what attracts me to the live show. It's because it draws something out of me when I'm watching a live artist pour their hearts out on that stage. It makes me feel.
Yes.
And, you know, I could find myself not feeling sometimes.
Well, it's funny because I know you're a Social D fan, and, you know, that was a band that turned me on to SoCal punk rock. You know, the first time I heard Mommy's Little Monster, mm-hmm. like, things changed for me. You know, it's like hearing Flag for the first time or Fugazi or Minor Threat. Like, everything changed for me. And but you'd go see a band like that, and they would just, that train would start chugging in the beginning. It would start picking up speed, and by the end, you didn't know if it was going to go off the rails, what was going to happen, but you know in that moment you were with them 1,000%.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember my 18th birthday at a club called Slim's in San Francisco, California, with my chest up on the stage right there at Mike Ness's feet, just watching Social D rip it all night. And I was one of my best birthdays ever.
Yeah.
My friend Kyle Satchwell got me a ticket to the show, took me down there. It was like just one of those moments I was just like, yep, I'm where I want to be. This is where I need to be.
Yeah, and you get that. It's not that you take from another performer, but the idea is what you take. The feel, you're like, I want to create the same feeling in other people. Like, and you do it your own way.
Totally.
But it is. There's some great bands out there live. Volbeat caught me like that the first time I saw them years ago.
Yep, they bring it.
Yeah, there's certain bands.
That's another one of those for me. I'm like, oh, God,
yes.
I see them. And I'm just like, my face gets peeled back.
Yes, always, man. You know, and that's the thing. You still have to love music. And sometimes I feel like I'm watching a performer and I'll go, I don't think they still love music anymore. I think they need money, which we all need money. We all have rent. But, you know, you can always tell if somebody really loves it. You know, you never get the feeling.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, when you're doing Last Resort or you're, you know, doing Loved or Swinging or anything, man, I never feel like it is a trauma to you. Like you're bored and you're waiting to get through it. Like, it always feels like the first time you sang it again.
I got to do it. It's just, that's how it is for me, man. It's just a natural, I don't know, man. It's like, it's just in me. I can't get up there and go through the motions. It would just be like torture if I was going through the motions. I'm like, it's too much sacrifice, in my opinion. You know, it's like we're away from our families, and it's like, it's that stage, that moment, that time, that's the time to get loose, man. That's the time to, you know, experience the beauty of life, the beauty of rock and roll, the beauty of connection through music. It's just, I'm part of something bigger than myself when I'm up there on that stage. It's just, it's purpose-driven music, essentially. Like, there's just so much to this music that just, it gives me life.
Tell me this. I know that we talked about it, but did you and Tech ever hook up and work anything out?
Because
that's such a perfect mix for you guys.
I know. We've talked about it on and off over the years, and, you know, it's just like, I'll get in the studio and get busy on my thing, and we've gone back and forth about the idea of getting in the studio. And so thanks for lighting that fire again. I'm about to hit him up and see if he's in town, dude.
Oh, listen, he's doing so many great things. They're shooting these films, and I can't even call them videos now, like these trilogies, continuing stories. And so that whole Strange Music creativity, like the production value, the film value, the video, the songs, everything, like it's time. Like, you guys, you can feel that you two could do something great together.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, dude. I'm definitely going to hit him up now. I was like, yeah, because we're coming up on our 20-year anniversary of our first album, and we're looking to do some really creative, interesting things around that to celebrate it.
Sure.
And so who knows, maybe on some, like, remix-type crazy something, or I don't know, who knows, but...
Oh, that'd be great, man.
Bringing that up, man.
Listen, I'll see you this Saturday, Providence Medical Center Amphitheater. I look forward to giving you a hug, brother.
Most definitely, dude. It's going to be good to catch up, Johnny.
All right, man. Take care. Stay right there. Hold on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.